This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, we are broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, the podcast will be uploaded moments after the show. Also, the Periscope. We got that streaming right now live on our Facebook and Twitter accounts, in case you want to go check in with the show that way. Also, fanrunradio.com. Go ahead and check that out whenever you are browsing the internet next. That is a great place to keep up to date with all the latest information about Tennessee between the football team and the basketball team right now. We always say it. There is never a dull day here in Knoxville with the Tennessee sports world. So be sure to stay up to date with all the information there at fanrunradio.com. And then, hey, last but not least, we have the Fan Run Radio app, which is available free to download. That's right, free. F-R-E-E. There's nothing better in life than something that's free. So the app is free. You can go and download the app on the Apple Store, Google Store, whatever it is. And that way, you can take the show, take the station, wherever you are headed throughout the day, each and every day. Also, that is the exclusive home of the Voluntary Reaction, which you can hear after every single basketball game that Tennessee plays. I know John and Hayden, I believe, had the one on Tuesday night, so certainly had a doozy of a game to break down there with the loss to Florida. But either way, man, there is no better way to get your post-game information, your post-game breakdown, than right there with the Voluntary Reaction. So go ahead and download the Fan Run Radio app. Hey, what do you have to lose? It is free. Other than that, though, hour number one in the books, gentlemen. Hour number two on deck. We started to talk a little bit about, obviously, some of the Tennessee football things going on. We had talked about Greg Sankey's comments about Hugh Freeze potentially entering the SEC. A little bit of mixed reaction on that, I think. And I would love to know kind of what other people think about this, because I think that maybe some other people might have, some different ideas on Greg Sankey and some of the things he says. I know even between the last two phone calls we've had, maybe a little bit of back and forth on that. So we're talking about Greg Sankey and Tennessee and Hugh Freeze and all that kind of wrapped up into one. But coming up here next, I do want to get into the football team a little bit more, talk about these four transfer players as well as the Philip Fulmer news. Sound good? You guys ready to jump in hour number two?
Ready.
Let's hop.
All righty. So here we go. Hank T., Jameer Johnson, Quavarius Crouch, and Eric Gray have all entered the transfer portal as of last night. Hank T., a former SEC all-freshman selection, who started 22 games for the past two seasons. And then obviously you have your most productive running back from this year, Eric Gray. You have a Quavarius Crouch who was kind of a jack of all trades, or a jack of a few different trades, I guess, at least, on the defensive side of the ball. And then obviously a couple more guys, another offensive lineman in Jameer Johnson. Now, there's certainly a plethora of ways to look at this, and I want to get y'all's opinion. But there is kind of that thought. And Brandon, you had just mentioned a second ago, so I do want to go to you first and have you maybe elaborate more. But what is kind of your takeaway from, you know, the continued domino effect that has been players entering the transfer portal, the continued sight of highly productive players at Tennessee, even on a bad team, who will no longer be with the team next year?
I mean, they kind of lost their reason to be here. The money stopped. So, I mean, also, they probably are going to have to face, I mean, they're probably going to have to sit out a year because they received benefits. I mean, they got paid. I don't know. I mean, you expected it. Maybe not to this extent. But I mean, what do you do?
Sure.
What do you do? I mean, that's the only thing that I can. I mean, their coach is gone. They're not getting paid anymore. They don't know. I mean, like we've been talking about, the program is in the crapper.
There is no postseason on the horizon to, you know, shoot for.
So, I mean, why stick around?
I think that's a fair point. Chance, what about you? Do you have any kind of sweeping thoughts when you heard this news yesterday?
Kind of the same thing of Brandon. Like like you said, like, it looks like the money's gone, you know? The
benefits.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would hope that – I mean, it does seem like most of those guys, yeah, like, either they're going to be implemented in some of this, and heck, they might be ruled ineligible wherever they try to go from here on out until this investigation's over, depending on how many are actually involved and how far this goes up outside of names that we had already heard, you know, with the Amarius Mims and Eric Gray. But yeah, just I didn't feel. I just was like, wow, this is happening. Like, this is when it rains, it pours, and Tennessee is really going to be bad for a while. But that's okay. And then when I say for a while, I mean, like, you bring in the right coach, for sure, you're going to be bad for maybe 2 years. But the right coach, you get upset here and there. You see some glimpses of brilliance for the future. That makes you feel excited. It will make you feel excited. But then if you bring in some lame duck – like Kevin Steele, or just some other retread that doesn't make a lot of sense for the hire. I mean, because this is your chance to get it right. And I know we keep saying that, but really, if you're Donnie Plowman, Randy Boyd, especially Randy Boyd, I mean, you've seen how this has worked over the years. Like, this is your legacy too, as you can cement a legacy that you know, were able to hire the right athletic director, and then he was competent enough to go after the right coach and really get Tennessee football back to where it once was, or at least ascending to that point, because you're not going to get back to national title days until, you know, it's going to be baby steps.
Yeah. All right, so I have two kind of follow-ups to that, so excuse me if I get wordy for a minute here. But
go for it.
Chance, you made a great point there, and you know, you really do kind of get to a crossroads with, I think, this hire. And not that we haven't said that before, but, man, I was talking to my dad about this yesterday. And, you know, I know that this is not going to be a new necessarily thought or anything, but you really think about it. And for the past 23 years, Tennessee fans have, with unwavering commitment, we have stood by this university for everything it's gone through. And what we have done every single year, and we have done on such a consistent basis, is we have touted what they have given us to tout, right? And that was the 1998 championship. And for years, even the many fans of us who never got to see that championship unfold, that is still the thing that we've had to tout for the university as fans, because, again, we don't have anything else to show off, basically. So you kind of get to this crossroads, I think, of people starting to have the mindset of, hey, look, we have done everything as the fans that you have asked for us. We have been unwavering supportive fans for as long as we can remember, for as long as you have given us a bad product, we have never left. And we have still sung your praises, especially about the 90s, because that's all you've given us to show. You have to give us something new. You have to. I think there's a large portion of this fan base who's like me, who's saying, hey, again, I respect the hell. It was probably awesome. It was probably the greatest thing ever when Tennessee won that game in that season. But you got to give us something new to show off. People are tired of that one game being the only thing that there is to show. We've tried to tout it for so long. But we can't keep going back to that well. That well is drying up. You got to give us something new to be proud of, to show off, to tout. Something along those lines. That was just the quick tangent I had. But the other thing was, in terms of getting that right, right? In terms of what they're going to do this hire, like you guys have been saying, it's obviously going to start with the athletic director, because I do think that what we know is that Tennessee wants the new athletic director to make this hire. Like, that is true. Or at least that is every single report that we've heard.
And you have to do that.
Or that's all the mindset that we've heard coming out of UT, is that they want their new athletic director to make this hire. That's why we were talking about it earlier in hour number one. Feinbaum had said that things were moving quickly. All the reports coming out of the university have been that things are trying to move quickly, again, because this hire is looming. But it's each day that goes and each day that passes, man, is a day that you fall behind. It's a tough position right now, and there's not much that we can do about it. And I don't know how much they're doing about it right now. That is necessarily above their call to action. I think they're probably doing everything they can. But it's just an awkward position that we're sitting here in. That's just it feels like a mindless waiting game. Meanwhile, we're watching so many things around us crumble. Meanwhile, we're watching our players leave the program. The players that were supposed to come into the program are not going to come in anymore. We have nothing to show off as Tennessee fans anymore. We have a stadium. What do you have in the last 20 years?
Yeah.
You have a stadium. And God, like I love this football program, but ultimately, I think that's the perception of where you are right now. And that might be hard to hear, and it sucks. I was listening to radio from back home yesterday. And people who couldn't care less about Tennessee, who are not in SEC country, who couldn't care less. But they're just saying, like, you know, hey, I see them over there. And well, I know they go through some crazy troubles over there. But, oh, man, they talk a lot. They got Peyton Manning, though. Like, we know that. It's just it's an interesting conversation, I think, of kind of the perception of Tennessee and where
things
are.
They got Peyton and those checkerboards.
Yeah, they got Peyton and they got the big stadium on the river. And I hate that, because that Tennessee is so much more than that. We know that better than anybody. But in the last 10 years, you've not given anybody any more reason to believe that Tennessee is more than that. Brandon and I were talking about this yesterday. Brandon said the most brilliant point about this. He goes, and sorry, I'm kind of stealing your thunder here. I just feel like I'm on a roll. Brandon was like, dude, who are the people that have seen the last 10 years of Tennessee football who it matters the most to? It's the recruits. It's the guys who've been playing high school football. It's the guys who you were trying to get come to your team. The only thing that they've seen in their adult functioning lives is coaching searches and turnover from Tennessee. I conclude my rant, but, you know, tough. Sorry, I totally stole your line from yesterday. It was a great line, and I just stole it straight from you. I started going. I couldn't stop myself. My apologies.
It's fine.
It was a great line. You're right. Like, it ultimately, I don't care. Like, it is less of an importance what, you know, the fans, it's less of an importance the fans in general, but especially, you know, like, If you got to see those great days in Tennessee's glory days, that is awesome. My main focus right now is on all these kids like 20 years old and younger. Because that's the future of the team. What have they seen? I don't know. Seen a couple coaches. So.
Not great.
Not great.
Things are not well.
Things are, and we're in this just weird stagnant position where there's nothing really we got going on right now until Tennessee gets the ball rolling and you know, obviously finds the guy they're looking for.
So, question. With this information about John Gilbert, is he turning us down, or are we just not going after him?
That's a great question. Report here on Twitter says, sources, ECU Athletics Director John Gilbert informed Interim Chancellor Ron Mitchelson on Wednesday that he is not involved and will not be involved in the athletic director search at Tennessee.
I mean, that's fine with me. I didn't really want Gilbert anyway. From what I've heard... Yeah,
that's a good question.
We're supposed... From what I've read and seen, apparently we're going after sitting Power 5 ADs first.
I'm sorry, say that again?
We're going after sitting Power 5 yes. ADs.
Yes.
Which makes sense.
Very much.
It's a good start.
It better. I'm not really wanting to give some guy his start here trying to clear the nuclear radiation that is Knoxville. You know, I don't really... Feels like a tough task.
Well, you don't need to go after... And the same with the coach. You don't need to go after guys who are learning how to do this on the job. Like, you need established...
Yeah, you're right. Same with the coach.
You need established guys who have already built something, are currently building something, and you've seen it for, like, you know, at least 3 years or so. And same thing, like you say, with like I just said with the coach. Like, you're Tennessee, and I know it's not a great job like it used to be, but still, you don't need to be hiring somebody who's learning on the job.
No. No, probably not.
No, you just don't. That's the only way you're going to get out of this and actually see some type of progress.
It's a waiting game right now as we continue to wait and see and try to figure out what Tennessee is going to do. Again, that is some of the mindset that we have and some of the things that we're waiting on, or at least what is going on that we're thinking about while this is all happening. A, Tennessee seems like all signs point to wants to hire an athletic director first, let the athletic director make his hire, and so on and so forth from there. So we'll see what happens, but man, oh man, I wonder, just going back to a couple minutes ago, I wonder what the perception is. This is your chance to change the perception. If you don't, not that everything's going to crumble, but I don't know. It's an interesting thought. Hey, don't go anywhere. Still got more show left. Papa's got a brand new bag. All right, gentlemen, here we go. Back here on the Blitz. Let's get into a little bit of an opening drive for the day as we expand into the news world a little bit. First down, the NBA to enforce rules for forbidding hugs and handshakes with mid-court security. They're rolling out the security squad out there to the, you know, to mid-court each game. The hug police. The handshake police.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
After witnessing some opposing players disregarding new league rules against unnecessary contact on game nights, the NBA is moving team security into the midcourt area to dissuade violations that include hugging and handshakes.
So stupid. They're all being tested. They're all testing negative before they can play. What does it matter if they go out there and shake hands and hug? Who cares? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It does seem a little redundant, maybe. You know, if you're going out there, you know.
They're all having to get tested, and they're all testing negative, or they can't play. Makes no sense.
I love the idea at the SWAT force just marching on out there to midcourt. I think that's a, I think that's a funny visual. Moving on though. And let's see. Second down. We had talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the career is over for one Philip Rivers. You may have seen a lot of posts about this yesterday, but ends the childhood dream career. 39 years old. Never played in a Super Bowl though, but he does rank fifth in NFL history with 63,000 passing yards, behind only Breeze, Brady, Peyton, and Favre. Eight-time Pro Bowler, fifth in league history with 421 touchdown passes. Again, Brady, Breeze, Manning, and Favre. Let me ask you the question that, of course, you know, when somebody like this retires, every sports talking head has to ask the same question. So here's my turn. Would you put him into the Hall of Fame? If you had the ability to single-handedly decide who gets in and who doesn't, if you had the keys to the kingdom, would you open the gates for Philip?
Yes.
Philip Rivers? I think so. I feel like a lot of people have been a little bit rough on him on this. I mean, he never won a title, but Philip Rivers is a damn good quarterback. Top 5 yards we talked about yesterday. I think it's a product sometimes of not having enough. I mean, he had LT for a long time. He thought that team would have. That's the height of his career, LaDainian Tomlinson and him. I think he deserves to be when you look at who's in the Hall.
Let me ask you a question then. This was a debate between me and my friends yesterday because I had asked them the same question and they said yes as well. And then I followed that up with, and I said, all right, are you putting Tony Romo in the playoffs? Or excuse me, in the Hall? Of Fame.
No.
To me, they're the same player.
How?
Two guys who were good, pretty darn good, but not great quarterbacks. They were never in that top tier, but they were certainly one of the absolute above average ones that, you know, there is a tier of quarterbacks who know they're not elite, but also your team is not necessarily trying to move on. Like, they're very sustainable. I think that both those guys are very sustainable. They both had long-term careers. Obviously, you know, Romo doesn't hit the top 5 rankings because Rivers had a longer career. But to me, they're the exact same player. Exact same quarterback. I know maybe some of the stats might be different. I'll be honest. I've never even seen the stats.
I think they are.
But from thinking about just what their careers were, where they went, the big moments that stand out from their career, again, to me, the biggest thing about them is that they were very, very good quarterbacks. They weren't ever great. They weren't ever bad. The team was never really moving on from them. But, you know, never really considered in that top category.
I mean, did Rivers not take them to an AFC championship
game?
He did.
Maybe two. I don't know. I'm looking right now. All right, so as we do the tell of the tape between Romo and Rivers, Rivers, 7 playoff appearances, Romo, 4. Neither one had an MVP. Rivers, 6 Pro Bowls, Romo, 4. Let's see, passing touchdown leader, Rivers had that in 2008. Romo has never been the passing touchdown leader. Also, yards, Rivers led in 2010. He was the percentage leader in 2013. Romo has never been the in any of those categories. Romo at one time was QBR leader in 2014. Rivers led QBR in the NFL in 2008. And Rivers got comeback player of the year.
Yeah, obviously, I think, you know, Philip certainly gets a nod because of the 17-year career that didn't necessarily end abruptly.
The games, obviously, 244 to 156.
Yeah.
Romo's worst thing was being available.
God, yeah, he did have plenty of injuries.
Wins as a starter, 134 to Romo's 78. Losses as starter, Romo 49, Rivers 106, but he played in a lot more games.
Do they have the win percentage?
Yeah, Romo wins that by 61% to 55.8.
Again, like, I think when we're talking about it, you know, I don't know.
But the yards, there's no comparison.
I think when we're talking about two careers that are over a decade, like these numbers are fairly close to me. Like in the whole long run, 6% on win percentage here, or a couple extra, 6-4, and whatever that stat.
How close do you think the yards are?
I don't think they're entirely close because he had some big extra years.
Philip Rivers, total yards for his career, 63,440 passing yards.
Which is fifth. Yeah, and I mean, Romo's not scratching fifth.
Tony Romo.
40.
34,183.
It's a bigger number than I thought. Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of a thought that came to my head. But I will stand by the fact, though, that when I just think about their career, when I use the eye test, two very similar quarterbacks to me. I don't know if you put them in the Hall of Fame. I don't understand the criteria. But anyways, moving on though, in terms of the news world, let's see, excuse me. The NCAA has announced dates for a preliminary, for the preliminary March Madness rounds. The NCAA announced on Tuesday its dates for the preliminary rounds of the 2021 men's basketball tournament, which will take place entirely in Indianapolis and its surrounding areas. The tournament will tip off on Thursday, March 18th, with the first four games. The first round will follow March 19th through the 20th, second round 21st through the 22nd, and then so on and so forth from there. So, as we get a little bit closer on to March, start to get a little bit more information about when this tournament's going to start, what it's going to look like, and now all that's left is to, I guess, find out what seed you're going to be playing in.
So the dates are set.
The dates are set, my friend.
It's going to be here pretty fast. Let's just hope that they can get through it this time. Actually get to play.
What do you? Oh yeah,
the
obviously.
Tournament. Like
absolutely.
Just the tournament. Like that. No, like crazy outbreak happens right before we get to any the conference tournaments or the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And then here we go. Last but not least. Going back to a little bit of local news here, and this came from John Bryce, footballscoop.com. But the report is coming out that, Tennessee interim head coach Kevin Steele, after being appointed with the interim head coach title, he is expected to be shopping around right now, and he really basically looking to fill a little bit of the staff, make some on-field hires and fill vacancies that are on UT's coaching staff right now. Does that tell you or does that give you any kind of reaction to hear the report that Kevin Steele is actively trying to fill the staff right now?
This makes me think that he's going to be the coach, but I mean, you have to fill a staff, I guess, if he's acting head coach. No, you don't know when this is going to
all right, so play let me out. Ask you guys this hypothetical, because I have no idea the answer. If, like, what happens when you get to a point? Well, we know that Tennessee wants their athletic director to make the next hire. And that makes sense. That seems smart, right? If it's kind of the same thing with Fulmer, right? Allow these guys to be tied together, in my opinion. That way, in case the ship does go down, well, hey, they may be tied together. But I think the thing about it is... is there any kind of way that you think Tennessee might go to that athletic director and say, hey, we know whenever the hire comes, hey, we still want you to make this hire, but it's going to be for 2022. We're going to roll with Kevin Steele on the staff right now, for this year. So you will still fully get your hire. In fact, you will have 8 more months to start getting all your ducks in a row. Start getting all the paperwork. Start vetting candidates. Start looking at candidates, other things. Do you think that they're, and this is just me kind of spitballing here, do you think that that could be a possibility, knowing that Tennessee wants their athletic director to make the hire? Or do you think that everything is about this year?
I have no idea.
Do you think that everything, everything needs to be about this year? Like, in your opinion,
no.
Do you think that Tennessee can do that?
No, it doesn't need to be about this year. It needs
to be about
the long-term success of the program.
Right. That's why I'm okay with Steele for
That's
a
what's
year.
Happened every single time. We've always rushed the hire. And look where it's got you. So, no.
I mean, yes,
it would suck. It would suck to have to roll with Kevin Steele for as an interim for a year. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can make the right hire and get this athletic director in here. But I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're doing over there right now. None of it makes sense. I don't know who's in charge. I don't know who's making decisions. Huh. It's a mess.
It's a cluster. It's a cluster. You know what? Yeah, I'm totally with you. I don't know what's going on there, but I do see that as a scenario that could unfold, and I don't necessarily think that's the worst thing. I think that, again, if Tennessee does want to give this new athletic director every ability to make the best hire possible, well, that could certainly come in the next month. Like, you could have all those things happen in the next X amount of time to be ready to go by, you know, sometime in February. Like, I can see that happening. But I can also very much see a situation where Tennessee says to the new athletic director, hey, we want, you know, obviously we have not turned the page on the football program yet. That is going to be your job. You need to make this hire. We want you to make this hire, but we're going to make it for the future. You know, we're going to roll with the punches right now, but we're going to make it for the future. So you better get it right. You have a lot of time, and we're going to give you a lot of resources. Again, we've talked that Tennessee does have, again, more resources than a lot of others do, so maybe you can take advantage of that. But then again, maybe that would really upset people going into next year. People already need a new reason to get excited for next year. So maybe that hurts in the short term as well. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation, but that is where we're at right now. Where we're going, though, is we're going to break, and then we'll be right back to get into a couple more conversations for the rest of the day. Hey, don't go anywhere. Phone line's still open, 865-546-8200, but it is closing soon. So make sure to get your voice heard in case you want to. Don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go back here on The Blitz. Still got to wait a couple days for Tennessee's next college basketball matchup, but that doesn't mean you have to wait for college basketball in its entirety. Got some games on tonight, and it doesn't look like there's a ton of top 25 teams in matchup per se, but nonetheless, still some good games. And look, here's the best thing. This is about what we're about to tell you. You probably already know, but here's the best thing. You don't need a top 25 matchup in order to make a little bit of money. Sometimes it is those preliminary fights, those pre-card fights, or some of these smaller school matchups that can really be fun, help you win a little bit of money. Brandon, how can the people do that today?
Well, this weekend, we obviously know that the NFL playoffs are winding down.
Oh, another great avenue
getting
to go bet
close
on
to the Super Bowl.
Golly.
I think Sunday we will be 2 weeks away, but
yeah, basketball,
championship
football.
Sunday is this weekend. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, the playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. Because right now, new users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during Championship Sunday. That's right, 25-1. Any team, any playoff game this weekend. So don't miss on this exclusive offer. I don't know. Who would you bet on? This is you. Who are you betting on?
Oh.
Who are you putting your money on?
I think it's an interesting
Chiefs,
case.
Bills? Packers? Brady?
If I was to make a bet right now, without any kind of any prior research or just whatever's in my head, I'm thinking the number one bet I'm putting down as part of some kind of parlay is a Packers money line hit. I don't know what the spread is, so that's why I'm not saying anything about that. The AFC feels like it could go either way. Who knows what Patty Mahomes is going to come out and look like? And Josh Allen's been rolling. Meanwhile, I think the Packers are going to play with vengeance. I think, yeah, absolutely, Brady wants to get that team to the championship again. What a moment for his legacy. But I think that this is the year that Aaron Rodgers does not be denied. I'm picking them as my favorite bet going into the weekend.
Yeah, I think I'd go with the Packers as well.
Also, no what pressure. Does that say about
no pressure chance?
Fat Jason Garrett, when Aaron Rodgers has an MVP year and you know the Packers returning the Super Bowl favorites and all that kind of stuff. What does that say about Fat Jason Garrett?
Well, thankfully he's been gone for a couple years now.
No, he has not.
But don't miss out on that exclusive offer, 25-1 odds boost. We've been telling you about FanDuel all season long. Easy to use app, easy deposits, easy and fast withdrawals. They get you your money in as little as 24 hours, and they've always got some kind of odds boost or special going on so that you have more ways to win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. Again, that's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 years or older, present in the state of Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $125. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
There you go. Make sure to go and find that, certainly, for this weekend. Man, go make yourself a little bit of money with the NFL playoffs. And, I mean, as a precursor, go ahead and make yourself a little bit of money tonight with some college basketball or whatever else that you can find. All right, gentlemen, we got about 15, 20 minutes left in the show today. It's been a pretty wild Thursday, as each day has been this week pretty much so far. But I want to get into football just a little bit more here before we wrap things up for the rest of the day as kind of the last big topic that we haven't hit. I do want to give you all the information about the Philip Fulmer story, right, and all the numbers that are associated with that. But before we get there, I actually just saw this, and it looks like he had tweeted this out about 8 p.m. last night. But shout out to Stetson Marlin, who is a great friend of our show here and a great contributor for the fan-run website team. But he tweeted out, finally, what I've been looking for so long, a full comprehensive list of everybody in the transfer portal and where they have gone if that has been announced. So I'm just going to fly through this really quick. If you're listening on the podcast, maybe slow it down or you can always go back. Here it goes. So this is from 15 hours ago, your most recent up-to-date update on Tennessee's transfer portal activity. Garantano, Washington State. Shrout, Colorado. Kasem Hill, Rhode Island. Ty Chandler, UNC. Eric Gray, undecided. Jordan Allen, Weber State. Jackson Lowe, Jacksonville State. Brandon Johnson, grad transfer to UCF. Wanya Morris, Oklahoma. Jameer Johnson, undecided. Savion Williams, Florida A&M. Hank T, undecided. Quavarius Crouch, undecided. Kevon Bennett, undecided. DeAndre Johnson, Miami. And then Baylen Buchanan, Louisiana Tech. I know I flew through that, but that's a massive list. Massive list. So,
and likely to keep growing.
Yeah. Certainly could. I mean, and again, that's
Tennessee's
not like
average about two or three players, I feel like, a day entering the portal.
Oh, man.
Might as well be called I've seen somebody make a joke. Might as well be called the Tennessee transfer portal.
Yeah, get a nice sponsorship on it. Maybe Nike will throw out some merch for the transfer portal. Just put a big T on transfer. That's a big list. And again, that's not like to add insult to injury. That's not to keep, beaten down what we've already been talking about. That is just a comprehensive list if you've been like me wondering what the official names were. So there you go. But aside from that, big story coming out yesterday, Brandon, about our own battle captain.
Don't call him that.
Papaw Phil.
Don't call him that either.
Philip Fulmer.
Yeah, there you go.
You're just jaded.
News came out about Philip Fulmer and how
he's
he
wrecked
be
us.
Connected to the
not
future.
Not jaded.
Fulmer will be leaving his post as athletic director once the new AD is hired. This announcement came on D-Day, where Pruitt was announced to be fired and everything like that. That was a part of that news dump. But here's what it says. This, according to, this was the direct quote from UT spokesperson Tyra Hagg. The details of AD Fulmer's transition have not been finalized. However, we will anticipate that when he leaves the athletic director's position, he will receive $37,500 per month through December 31st, 2023. In case you missed this, this is also on our own Trey Wallace's Twitter account. He got this reply from UT the other day, too. So what that means is that is adding up to about roughly $450,000 annually through the end of 2023.
Why? Why? He's wrecked, he has sullied his own name as far as Tennessee is concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, there are always going to be people out there that love Fulmer for whatever reason, but he has wrecked our football program. This is from John Bryce.
Wrecked.
Between his firing in 2008 and his departure right now, Philip Fulmer is en route to collect well more than $7.25 million for not working.
Wow. Wow. It's a big number. Wow.
Over $7 million to not work.
I would love to get paid to not work. Wow.
Fulmer got the last laugh.
Final segment of the Blitz on this Thursday. Again, I've been telling you about our friends over at FanDuel. And again, playoffs winding down, getting close to declaring a champion in the Super Bowl. But to get there, you got to go through Championship Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And FanDuel has plenty of ways for you to win, one of those being a same-game parlay. If you don't know what that is, a same-game parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win. You can combine the money line, over-under, different player props, all into one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect your parlay. That's right. You can place a three-plus leg same-game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. The playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot, and it's just one of many ways to win on FanDuel. Again, easy-to-use app, fast withdrawals. They get you your money in as little as 24 hours because it's the right thing to do. I took my money out yesterday. It's already in my account.
Bang.
They've got odds boost and specials every single day for you to win more money. If you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up to get started. Use promo code BLITZ at signup. Again, that's promo code BLITZ at signup. And if you're a current customer, then you're all set to go. Go check out FanDuel same game parlays. You must be 21 years or older, present in the state of Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
There you go. Just like that, man. Go make yourself some money. We tell you about it all the time because we stand by it. Go make yourself a little bit of money. I think that's what we're going to try to do tonight as well. All right, gentlemen, it's been a fun show, and it's been certainly a wild show. We have taken the conversation all over the place. It felt like ages ago that we started the show talking about Greg Sankey appearing on the Clay Travis show, talking a little bit about Hugh Freeze and what that could look like, about a possible return to the SEC. Remember what he said there. He said it's up to the schools. In case you missed that conversation or in case you missed what he said, make sure to go back and find that in the first segment of hour number one, because it really is standout, at least in my opinion. Now, you might have a different idea on the silver lining or reading between the lines of what that looked like, but hey, either way, I still think it's very noteworthy in relation to everything going on here right now. But with that being said, anybody got a quick if you haven't heard?
If you haven't heard, Missouri is finalizing a deal to hire Steve Wilks, former Arizona Cardinals coach, as their new defensive coordinator.
Ah, interesting. Steve what?
Wilks.
Steve Wilks. Very nice.
If you haven't heard, those of you who like to gamble a little bit outside of the sports betting, Powerball and Mega Millions were at record highs this week.
Oh, I saw.
And the Powerball was actually won. A single ticket was sold in Maryland, which matched all six numbers of the $731.1 million Powerball lottery, the fourth largest jackpot in Powerball history.
Wow.
What would you do with $731 million, Brandon?
A lot of things.
buy a new coach.
I want to talk at some point, maybe next week, maybe when this slows down. I want to talk about that hypothetical. What would you do? Would you give it to your friends? How much would you give? I also heard that you could either get a lump sum, you know, for the winner. They were either allowed a payout over 30 years or a lump sum of like $500 million, but both of those without taxes. Would you have a choice of what you would do? Would you take less and get it in one lump sum or have the whole thing over 30 years?
You always take the cash option.
Yeah, man. Like, what if you die?
That's what I'm saying. You always take the cash option.
Yeah, take the lump sum. All right, sorry.
You don't want the annuity payments because you might die. But, yeah, so some lucky Maryland resident or maybe somebody just passing through. $731 million richer today. So
wow.
Must be nice.
I'd like that to be me.
Nice.
Yeah, must be nice.
I'd love that to be me. Oh, my God, the things we would do around here. We'd just party, boys.
We would.
We'd definitely have a good football coach.
We would, yeah.
And be a booster.
We'd make sure that happens.
National calendar days to end the show. All right, National Granola Bar Day.
I'm not the biggest fan. I never have been, but maybe that goes back to the nut allergy or something.
They're good for you. National Hugging Day.
None of that in the NBA. That is banned amongst NBA players. No hugging.
This is true. It's also National Squirrel Appreciation Day. And National Get to Know Your Customers Day.
Hey, get to know your customers. Very nice. Hey, that wraps it up for us here today on The Blitz, man. Thanks for hanging out with us no matter how you were. Have a wonderful day. Go out there. Be good to someone. Have a wonderful day. And we'll see you back same time, same place tomorrow. Be good. This has been The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.